There is nothing worse than untapped potential. If you know that you're made for more, this is the place. I know that every successful person I've ever met has one thing in common. They do not let themselves fall victim to their circumstances. They figure out a way to rise above it. So join me on this journey where I help you to be better, do better, and have better in life and in business. If you're feeling stuck and you're needing some practical tools, some hope to get you to that better life, this is definitely a place for you. Hey everybody, welcome to the Unstuck Podcast. I am your host, Lachelle Weamy, and today you get a chance to hear from holistic wealth coach, Whitney Morrison. You guys, she has such a phenomenal story around money, her own money story, and how she's able to help people, even couples, in the transition of going to being, you know, that full-time entrepreneur, and the ways in which we have to partner with each other to make sure that this happens in a way that is mutually beneficial and really honors the way that we look at money in the most healthy way possible. So Whitney, I can't wait. I cannot wait for this conversation. Thanks so much for being here.
Oh, I'm so happy to be here, Lachelle. It's good to see you again.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Why don't you tell us a little bit about you and how you serve people? Like, what just lights your soul on fire?
Okay. So my name is Whitney Morrison, like you said. I'm a certified financial planner, which just means I've taken a lot of tests with money. I consider myself an expert in financial planning. I've been doing this work for about 14 years now, but I like to tell people that really I've only been a good financial planner for the past 7 years. And the reason why is because I struggled with money for a really long time. I grew up in a household where my dad was a compulsive gambler and my parents fought a lot about money. And I just didn't have the financial tools and experience to go out in the world and be empowered with my money. So I decided right out of college, I was like, I want to figure this money thing out. So I became a financial planner. But for the first 7-8 years, I really struggled because I was helping people with their money when in the background, my own money was a mess. And it really took me taking a completely different approach to wealth and money, which is what basically informs the work that I do today, to start to help people. And my business is Holistic Money. And it really helps people not only understand what to do with your money, because I was a financial planner. Like I said, I technically knew everything that you needed to be doing with money, but I had a lot of emotional barriers with money. I had a lot of money mindset issues. And so I had to really address those things first. So my business, Holistic Money, is the combination of, yes, financial strategy is important, but what is equally important and honestly more important is your money mindset, your relationship with money. And so the work that I do really serves both parts of money in that way and you in that way, because I believe that is what creates not only like physical wealth, but emotional wealth, spiritual wealth. And like, that is what I am interested in working with people on.
Yes. I mean, I think that when we recognize there are blocks in our mindset is when we know what we should do or want to do, but we haven't been able to either execute or do so consistently. There's fear around it. There's blocks around it. Why don't you tell us a little bit more from your expert opinion and your experience about more of the money blocks that you have seen in your clients?
Yeah. Well, I think the money blocks that I've seen in my clients are honestly the money blocks that I found in myself, because I think we all have a pretty common set of money blocks. Okay. For me, for example, I was working as a financial planner. And what I didn't understand about that job initially is it was a sales role. You have to go out, you have to find clients, you have to sell them on your value, and you have to be willing to receive money and help people by receiving money. Yeah. And for a long time, I had so much guilt and shame about the process of selling myself, the process of asking for money, communicating my value, feeling worthy of money, money worthiness. Even though it sounds a little like nefarious and woo-woo, it is real, girl. It is one of the most important important things that you actually have to unblock for yourself to start to get into the 6-7 figure wealth building zones with your money. For me, I felt incredibly unworthy with money for a long time. And I see that a lot with my clients as well. Lack of financial confidence is a huge one as well. Just not believing in your money ability. Right. And that comes from a lot of personal experience that you've had with money, along with just how generally financial educated you are too. I think those two things kind of go together.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, your identity around money. I am bad with money. I am not good with money. It's when you have that identity, you're unwilling and unable at that time to take on like this new role. And as a business owner, we have to be able to at least have the comfortability to look at our numbers. Like some people just have a big enough block that they don't even want to know. As long as there's enough in the bank account, they're good, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And even that is like a threshold that a lot of people aren't even totally sure around. I know for a long time for me, I really wasn't, you know, I was really just living on the edge with money all the time. And I had a fixed income at that time. But the issue for me was that there was a lot of me I was spending a lot of money to look good and to feel good about myself. And I just ended up spinning myself into a hole, you know, and it really took a lot of work and like working on my self-esteem and my mindset to really get to a place where I am now, which is like completely transformed my financial life and am helping others do the same.
I mean, it's amazing how you don't even associate that, but like, what is your worth to yourself? Like, what is your self-esteem, your self-confidence, your self-worth, and how is that playing out in your money story? And is spending money on things? I remember, you know, my sister, I love her. So Beth, if you're listening to this, this is said with a big hug, right? But like, we would be, you know, getting our clothes for school, and I'm cheap. I've always been, you know, it's funny. I like nice things. Like at one point my car was worth less than my handbag that it carried. So I'll spend it on what I, you know, value. But, anyway, when we were kids, we would get, you know, $100 to go and spend on school clothes. And I'd come out with like, you know, all kinds of stuff. I could stretch that money. And my sister would get like one pair of expensive jeans and like two nice name brand shirts, because to her, that felt that gave her extra confidence, that gave her, you know, this belief that she was better or worth more if her clothes were worth more. Totally. And that can show up in our way that we spend money and the money mindset. So getting back to the root of our own self-worth and our self-confidence is actually stuff that is a lot of people's blind spots, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. I think that honestly, when it boils down and we really start to look at how am I using money today versus how do I actually want to be using money to build the life that I want? Right. Those two things, I really think that that's like one of the most interesting things to explore with money. Yeah. Is to start to really dissect that and pick that apart, because you can start to just find these ways that it's like, oh, I'm using money in this way. And it's not even something that's really important to me. It's not even something that I highly value. But when you can reconnect with what you actually do value in the life that you want to build, it becomes less about cutting back and cutting out and not having enough, and more about here's what I have and here's how I'm going to use it in a way that's going to get me what I actually want. Yeah. And I think that was a big shift for me, because I always thought that, oh, if I'm going to be good with money, I just can't spend it. And I rebelled against that for a long time.
Yeah.
You know, I did not want that to be my reality with money, but I figured out it's not about cutting back. It's about cutting out what's not important too.
Yes. And that's why I, you know, we, it's kind of a funny joke, but we bought this car for $500 from a friend of ours, that my husband taught with. And it was just like, I don't care. I'll drive it. That wasn't a value to me. I didn't care. So I'm like, it's not going to get banged up in the parking lot at work. So like, you know, whatever, cause it wasn't a thing for me. And I think that it's letting go of some of the things so that you could have the things. And the handbag to me represented like the life that I was walking into. It was a representation to me of the next level in my business. And when I was able to give that to myself, because I earned it for myself, it represented something in me. So I think putting our money where we value it, instead of feeling like we're having to put it in a place of filling a hole.
Yes, exactly. Right?
Can be really,
And I think that, you know, as we're talking about the transition from like taking a full-time, leaving a full-time job and going into entrepreneurship, I think that that doing this work beforehand yes. is really, really important because, I mean, one of the main reasons why I was able to position myself really well during that transition was because I had gone through the process of saying my business and building this business is one of the most important things to me. It is such a high value to me. It is a reflection of so many things that I care about. And so I'm willing to put this business as a number one value, a number one, number two value in the way that I use my money, which really helped me, you know, kind of cut out all the other stuff that it's like, you know what, that's not as important. That's not as important. And because I had that mindset, I really believe it helped me have a very seamless transition from a job, a multi-six-figure job to my business, to being like, all right, let's see how, you know, let's see what I'm made of.
Because you built those processes up before you took the leap. I mean, people, I was on your podcast a while back and we talked about that, how, you know, we had our savings account built up so that I had that cushion before, you know, I took the leap from my full-time career. And I think that getting some of these places in place before you take that leap will allow for that transition to go even smoother. What are some of the things that you love to do to help people understand their own money story? Because I think that that itself of how we view money and the meaning that we've attached to it is such a foundational part of this work. But sometimes that question alone is really daunting for people.
Yeah. So I like to help people, you know, I love the concept of a money story. I don't use it as much in my work unless I'm hearing someone tell me about their money and I'll remind them, hey, this is just your money story. This is not actually the circumstances of your life. But I like to help people kind of boil down and understand how your relationship with money was really developed. Yeah. And really, there are a few key factors. Number one, through the culture that you grew up in, through the experience that you had with your family, through your religious background, that tends to be a big shape, like a big shaper of your relationship with money. And culture, media, I already said that one, but those are kind of the forces that I really see. I call them the invisible forces that shape our experiences with money and shape our money mindset. And I think it's really, really important that you have so much compassion for these invisible forces that have shaped your money experiences and your money mindset, because in some ways they deeply serve you and in other ways they could be limiting you and holding you back. So I like help people start to see, like, let's start to explore your family history with money. Let's start to explore your, the neighborhood that you grew up in. And did you feel ashamed with money that you were, when you were little, or did one parent rely on the other parent financially? And what was their relationship with money like? Because you will learn so much from those experiences.
Yeah. And, you know, I love that I get to incorporate a little bit of nerdy brain science into this, right? But like we watch our parents and when we're little, many of our belief systems, which is what money mindset is built out of, is the belief that we have around money, is there, many of them are, you know, established before we're even 7 years old and we watch things. So if I'm struggling with having a conversation around money with my husband, it might be because I watched all conversations regarding money with my parents turn into a fight, right?
Yeah.
So in my mind, my belief is that that is when I talk about money, it's going to turn into a fight. And, you know, our beliefs are literally what our subconscious has done to try to make sense of the world and how we fit in it, right? And so that doesn't always mean that that's the actual way it is. It's just the way that we have perceived that it is. And because many of these things happen before we're even in first grade, they're very deeply rooted. And what happens is our subconscious will look for evidence in the outside world to validate its beliefs. So it's going to continue to point out situations in the world that validate, that prove it's right. And therefore those beliefs get really embedded into the way that we think the world works and how we show up in the world.
Totally. And I think another thing with that is when we are that young, We don't have the ability to understand nuance. Right. We don't have the ability to question what it is that we're actually experiencing. We really see things as black and white. Yep. And I think the process of starting to unstick these beliefs, right. these experiences, is to learn how to start to question some of these things yeah. that we've always just considered, this is how the world works. Of course, this is true. It's so hard to make money. I don't have enough money. I'm never going to have, whatever your mindset yeah. is. But we just didn't have those tools at that point in our life. And so now as adults, it's coming back through and starting to explore, hey, is this really have to be true for me? Are there any other possibilities for me? Is this really serving me? You know, these are the kinds of things that I really like to explore when it comes to money mindset.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I want to make sure that the way that I really like to think about my brain as this resource. And I like to think about how useful are the thoughts that my brain is serving me? And is it truly useful for me to be thinking about this thing in this way? Is it really going to get me where I want to go? And if it's not, I'm going to question it. And I'm going to start to ask myself, is there a different way that I could think about this or experience this or perceive this? And that's not to just like bypass and be like, okay, I'm going to think this instead. Yeah. But it's like, what else could possibly be true here?
Right.
And that is a great way to start to unstick, I think, like really, really layered and really heavy money narratives.
Right.
When you can start to see other possibilities. And we can start to understand what is the most useful way for me to experience this, given what I actually want in my life, you can start to find new paths forward. Our brains are very creative if we allow them to be.
Yes. Yes. And so what do you say to somebody who, and I know that there's like so much that we could go into, but I love this stuff. What do you say to people who recognize they have a money mindset that is not serving them well, that something is not true, that they no longer accept it, it is BS, but they're ready to flip that script? What are some tools that you have for people to rewrite those belief systems that are going to serve them in a better way?
Yeah, I think, first of all, the awareness that you have limiting beliefs about money, that is something to celebrate. And because here's the thing, even if I'm at six figures in credit card debt, if I am, or a multimillionaire, I still have limitations in my thinking. So for me, it's like, I never consider my limitations as a bad thing. I'm always very curious. I'm like, okay, I'm here now.
Right.
If I want to get to this next level, I need to start to explore what's the limitation in my thinking and my experience of the world that's holding me back. So the first thing is like becoming aware of those and allowing that to be an exciting process for you. Like I love whenever I find beliefs in myself that are limiting me,
yeah.
I'm like, oh my gosh, of course, I'm so happy I found that. Because it starts to allow me to unstick. So I would say first thing, start to notice them. And then just like I said, start to really question, does this have to be true for me? Does it really serve me to think this way? Are there any other possibilities? If I were to talk to my best friend and I were pumping her up and I were encouraging her, what would I tell her about this issue? Yeah. And those are when you can start to pull out some different ways that maybe the world works. Maybe I'm experiencing money. Maybe I'm seeing money. And you really have to make sure that you are surrounding yourself with people who are on the same path as you.
Yes. Yes. So true. Okay. So that segues us into the next thing that I'm dying to talk to you about, because a lot of our listeners are in the space where maybe they are wanting to transition from their full-time career to being an entrepreneur, or maybe you've been an entrepreneur for a while and you're just feeling stuck in various like levels of wanting to level up. And the two things that I have found in my clients that are unbelievably impactful when it comes to the success or the speed of success that we have in our business. One is the relationships that we have, especially with our spouse. And number two is our relationship with money. And when our spouse and I have a different view around money or a different risk threshold or a different, you know, way in which you know, maybe your spouse, like mine, I love my husband. Like he's the balancer in us and I love him so much, but he's the stable guy in the disc world. He's an S, like everything's about stability. And for him, like me going out and doing this new adventure meant giving up my pension, giving up my 20-year career at a well-established medical facility that had great benefits. It meant a lot of risk for him and navigating around those conversations can be really difficult when you bring in money mindset stories. Mine was the fact that my parents never talked about money unless they talked about not having any, or it turned into a fight. My husband's family just never talked about money at all. They've never fought in front of the kids. They never had any conversations to model around how to bring up these conversations. And I love the fact that one of the services that you provide are these money date nights where you really help a couple navigate around their relationship with money as a couple. And I would love for you to dive into a little bit of that process and give us some tips on how we can navigate this if you and your spouse are on different pages when it comes to the financial plan, stability, risk, all of the things that go into the entrepreneurial world.
Yes. So first thing I'm going to say is when that happens, not if, nothing has gone wrong.
Yeah.
It is so, like, one of the things that we have to start to really leverage in our partnership and our marriage is that we may have two very different skill sets with money. Craig has his unique skills. That's my husband. I have my unique skills with money. And it really took us a bit of a reckoning to recognize those instead of using those as a tool, as a weapon against ourselves. We started to learn how to use it as a tool to work together as a really great team.
Yeah.
And so I think one of the things that I like to say about with couples is money can either be a point of frustration and tension or stress in your relationship, or it can be a point of connection and love and support in your relationship. And the only difference between those two things is simply the way that you all talk to each other about money. That is it. You can weather any storm financially if you two know how to speak with each other about money. And it really requires that both of you are intentionally aware of what's going on in your body and some of the guilt and the shame and the fear that may be at play that kind of can get in the way of really being a supportive, loving partnership. I'm going to give you an example.
Okay.
An example is I have my own business and Craig and I are about to have a baby. We're so excited. But one of the things that we're starting to kind of contend with is, okay, we're going to have a baby, our expenses are going to go up. And so the question is, do I start to pay myself more from my business, given the fact that we're going to have a baby? Craig wants me to start paying myself more from my business. I want to invest more money in my business. I want to hire more people. I want to hire another coach for myself because I have a belief in myself that yes, it's good now, but yeah. I believe that with these investments, it's going to be better.
Yeah.
And so this is a point where we have two different perspectives on what should happen with our money. And it's really been an ongoing conversation that we've had to navigate with each other. And what it really came down for to me was I knew that Craig's desire for me to get paid more truly, and he would tell you this too, is driven from his own fear, his own not, because truly we have enough money coming into our accounts. And so I really had to navigate, for me personally, my own sense of guilt around this, because there was a lot of guilt for me being like, oh, I should be putting more money towards my family. I should not be investing so much money in this. Who am I to do this? But, you know, I had to really kind of back up and work through my guilt and start to step into like the investor version of myself, which is like, if I were to go to an investor committee and if I were to really pitch myself and if I were to really be in full belief around myself, how would I be talking about this situation with this money right now? And that was true, because I would find myself dropping into guilt and really feeling like I had done something wrong and just carrying that around so frequently. But it was just not, because then I would get mad at him and it was just not serving. So for me, it was really learning how to, and I think this is true for a lot of business owners, right? Because this is a tension I see a lot between couples that are business owners. Yeah. One partner wants them to not spend so much money in their business. See it all the time. But if you are willing to go to bat for yourself, you have to really be able to say, look, I know you're scared. This scares me too. But you have to trust me in this decision that I'm going to make, because I know that the business that I'm building is going to serve us so deeply in the future, and it's serving us now. But right now, I need you to trust this decision that I'm going to make. And those are sometimes the conversations that we have to have with each other. Yeah. And then the decision is that Craig, you know, as my partner, he says, yeah, okay, I will trust you. Yeah. And I really think it's when we can move, because there's risk in order to grow your wealth, in order to grow your business. Risk is required. Yes. It's a part of the process. You have to learn how to navigate risk. You have to learn how to assess risk. And then one person may want to take more risks than the other. Right. And it's the way that you're willing to go, what I believe, go to bat for your risk and believe in yourself for your risk. And it may not always work out. And you know what? I know that Craig's going to love me anyway. But he knows that I'm not just trying to willy-nilly go spend money. He knows this is important to me. He knows that I'm willing to give this all that I have. And he's willing to trust me. But it took me grounding myself and centering myself to have that real conversation with him and treating him as an investor. Like, hey, this is how I would handle this situation. And really having him see, okay, yeah, I'm willing to go to bat with you too. So it's a bit of a nuance, but I really believe it is the way that we choose to talk to each other about money and really navigating our internal experience with money to be in our most empowered states together.
And I think that that's so powerful when you learn to talk to one another. Cause I mean, I'm going to get really vulnerable with you guys right now. Like past, you know, I've been in business for 7 years and I think back on the fact that I am definitely an easier person to lean into risk than my husband is. But sometimes when I look back, it's like, if he wasn't willing to bet on me, it made me take it personally. Like he didn't believe in me. And that wasn't it at all. It's that was his money story. That's his innate personality. That is, he had all the belief in me. It's just that it was outside of his comfort zone. And I think that it's easy as a couple to hold resentment, to have assumptions, to feel like you're not supported, not loved, not encouraged, and then just kind of pull away, then leaning in and saying, hey, can we talk about this? Because I would love to know a little bit more about what that means to you and what you're mostly scared about. And can we come up with a backup plan together? Or can we come up with a plan like, let's give this 6 months, let's reevaluate. Or, hey, let's come up with a plan to have this much in our savings account before I take this step, or whatever the case may be. But we have to be willing to have that conversation. And I never even thought about it in that way, Whitney. So thank you.
Yeah. And what you just said just made me think about something too, because I think what is most important in those conversations is the way that you are thinking about your partner. So for example, like you knew that what's your husband's name?
Andy,
you knew that Andy, when he was having his fear, when he was worried, it wasn't because he didn't believe in Michelle. It just wasn't because he didn't believe in you. It's because he's scared, because there's a little boy inside of him that's scared about money and something may go wrong. And that's what he's learned, how to experience money. And it is the way that we, just like you said, that we think and perceive our partners in those moments. And I think one of the things that is so important is that you're really clear on how you are thinking about your partner. And this is one thing whenever I'm coaching my clients and they'll be talking about their partner and, you know, they'll say things like, oh, he doesn't want me to do this. You know, he doesn't want to spend any money. I really have to help them question, because if they have these thoughts about their partners that are really negative or low value or not useful to their partnership and to their marriage, then we really have to question and be like, you know, is it really true that they never want to spend any money? Or is it true that they do want to spend money, but it's scary for them to spend money? And we really have to break down. And I think, now that I think about it, the thing that makes my marriage with Craig so strong around money, because we are amazing business partners at this point and marriage partners, but amazing business partners, amazing money partners, is because of the foundational beliefs we have about each other. I believe that Craig wants to support me. I believe he believes in me. I believe that he would give everything to me. And he believes the same things about me. And when we have those beliefs at the undertone, yeah, of every conversation that we have is built on that foundational beliefs about each other. So you have to really do work around, and I did not always have these beliefs around Craig, believe me. You know, I was ready to like go to war sometimes, you know? But I chose to build them over time, and I chose to see him this way. And because I chose to see him this way, we are so strong together. And it allows us to really always be batting on the same team.
Right. That's amazing. And I want to dive into that just a touch more, because it sounds like it's so fundamental, because the money thing is a symptom almost of some of these basic things. So what kind of things were you able to do to really strengthen your relationship with Craig, to be able to have that internal trust that he loves you no matter what, that this is not something that is a reflection of him not believing in you or all the things? Like, how did you get to that point? What are some tips that you have for people?
So the first thing I had to realize is that my love for Craig is generated from the way that I think about him.
Yes.
And it was when I started doing my own personal development work, and I had to really look, like, I will never forget this time. We were in New York City and we had gotten in a fight about something. And I was in the middle of getting my coach certification. So I was just learning about my mindset and how I was thinking about things. And I remember I was biking behind him and I just had all of these things like, he doesn't really love me. It was so unconscious. But then I was really like, wait, is it true that he doesn't really love me?
Right.
Because I don't even remember what the silly fight was about, but I just started to notice, wow, that's what my brain is offering me right now. That's the trigger that's bringing up the trauma. Yeah. That is not actually about Craig in this moment. It's my trigger that's bringing up my trauma. And so I became clear. I started to see how I was really thinking about him. And when I think about him in those ways, I treat him very differently than when I think about him the way of course, Craig loves me, but he doesn't like when I do X, Y, and Z, or it makes him afraid, or it hurts him. And it was really starting to understand, it starts with you. It starts with your own narratives. It starts with the own way that you're in. Like, it's a bit of a responsibility to be like, oh, my love is generated from the way that I think about my partner. It's my relationship to him. Yeah. Right. But I promise you, that is where your empowerment is found. That is where your love is found. That is where it all exists. Yeah. And when you can start to do that work on yourself and you can start to see your partner differently, they will respond differently. Yeah. For sure.
Remembering that our thoughts create our feelings create our action creates our results, and it all comes back to our thoughts. And so if you're not feeling the way that you want to feel, go back to the narrative. What were you just thinking? And you get to use our free will to choose again. What thought can you choose to think that's going to create a new feeling? And over time, those results are going to happen because of the way that you act from that feeling.
Exactly. And it sounds so simple to be like, okay, 1 + 1 = 2, and then add 2 and it equals 5. And, you know, kind of hearing it, I remember when I first heard exactly what you just explained for the first time, I was like, how do my thoughts create my actions and my results? This does not make sense. It just takes a little time to start to get to know your mind. And then when you can just start to, like I said, just question some of these underlying assumptions. And even when you're in this conversation with your partner about money, like I just had a coaching session with one of my clients and she was having the same, like her thought about her husband, Brent, is like, he's stupid with money. Like that was the actual words that came out of her mouth. I just don't think he's good with money. He makes stupid financial decisions. And I really had to stop her. And I really had to say, like, we need to unpack this a little bit. And we need to look at this a little bit because I want you to consider how it influences the way that you two interact around money when you're having conversations. If these are the underlying belief systems that you have about him. And we really started to unpack that he's not stupid with money. It's just the fact that, just like you said, he had specific financial experiences that's made him react to money in these ways. When you can have that compassion, you can understand that's where that person is coming from. You can start to just explain yourself from a much cleaner space. It becomes much less defensive and it becomes much more of just neutrally having a conversation with someone that's scared or angry or hurt and helping them understand, hey, look, this is just where I'm coming from. This is how I see it. This is what I've learned. This is what I think to be true. This is why I think this way. And you can really just have so much, like a much cleaner conversation about money.
Right. And I'm guessing that those tools are also going to allow you to refrain from bringing up, like, how can I put this? You know, this is what you always do, or your past has proven that this is correct, or this is what I expect of you. And so you keep bringing up like past things, past mistakes, past money, you know, decisions that were not healthy. And that doesn't get us anywhere, does it?
Oh no, that's just like, I want to be right. 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 One of the, you know, in my money dates that I have them every quarter, by the way. So
okay, awesome. We'll make sure that we put all those that information in the show notes for sure.
Yes. I have rules for money dates. When people come in, I set 3 rules. And one of the rules is, we do not use this time to judge each other, to shame each other about any past with money. The money date is focused on from today to the next 90 days. That is it. We do not use this as a time, because whenever you find yourself falling into, oh, you always do this, or it always goes your way, or you never listen to me, yeah, you are subtracting from the real situation that's right in front of you. It's like, you're like, hey, look over here. Look at all this other thing. When the thing that you really want to work on and you really want to solve is actually right in front of you. So you have to really, and that's your own emotional response to the situation, right? So you have to really, you know, kind of come back into the situation you're working on at hand.
Yeah.
What is the money decision you're looking at immediately, most immediately? What are the things you're working on right now? It is not a time to drudge up a bunch of old stuff. We got to keep it focused on what are we trying to solve right now? Right. And using the tools, like I said, of underlying belief systems about each other, having mutual trust, mutual respect, and mutual love for each other in the process. Yeah. And there are some times where we have to make money decisions. Like Craig is spending a lot of money right now. He's an ultra marathoner and he's traveling all over the country preparing for a huge run. And guess what? I want to go on a baby moon. And I'm like, you get to go on all of these trips and I don't get to go on a baby moon. That story really hurts.
Oh.
I have to really reframe the story and remember, oh, but last year I invested $60,000 in my business in a coaching certification. I also went to Brazil. I got an explant. So it's okay that this is his turn.
Yeah. Oh, that's so powerful. Girl, we could spend the whole like rest of the day talking about this stuff, which is why I am so excited to have you be part of the communities that I'm in. So just you guys, like, this is not the last time that you're going to hear from Whitney, for sure. So girl, I just want to make sure that everybody knows that all of your amazingness is going to be in the show notes. So if you want to follow her, if you want to work with her, if you want to learn more about her money dates, make sure that you check out the show notes. I love, love, love it when you guys leave a review, subscribe, and leave us some feedback on what your favorite part of this episode was, because we love to hear what parts really touched you. And we also absolutely appreciate it when you share these episodes out in your social media, tagging us so that we can interact with you a little bit, because we want to make sure that this is like a multi-directional relationship with all of our listeners. And so make sure that you guys check out all of the ways that you can connect with us on social and tag us. So Whitney, one of the things that I do before we wrap up every conversation is to ask you to propose a question to the audience that is going to allow them to think and move them from where they are to where they want to be. So what question would you like for them to start to ponder?
I would say so I'm going to do it because I know we've been talking about this idea from moving from entrepreneurship from moving from full-time work to having your own business. I would start to ask yourself, what do I need to believe about myself and money to make this transition successful for me? And I would just start to make a list of like, what am I going to need to believe about money? There's so much money available to me. There's so many ways that I can grow my business. I have so much value to offer. What do I need to believe about myself? I have everything it takes to make this business work. And then when you can start to make that list and you can find any areas that it's like, ooh, I'm not sure I'm 100% sold on this one yet, you know that's your work. You know those are the areas that your belief systems, your mindset is out of alignment with that transition that you want to make. So I'll do this exercise often for that next thing that I want for myself. What do I need to believe about myself and about the thing to make this actually work for me? I'll write those down and then I'll look for any areas that I want to start to work on my relationship with.
Oh my gosh, I love that. You guys, I hope that you got as much out of this as I did. Whitney, thank you so much for being here. Congrats on the baby ahead of time. And I know that you guys, again, we're going to see more of Whitney in the future. So thanks everybody for listening. Have a great rest of your week.
Bye. Thanks everyone.
Thank you so much for listening to the Untuck Podcast. I am so grateful to be on this journey with you. And don't forget to check out the show notes if you want to get into my private club, the Better Club, to be able to learn better ways to be better, do better, and have better. So until next time, keep showing up. Let's get unstuck together. Have a great day.